You know, the Nazis almost obliterated London and England in the war with their bombings. And as a result of so many adults losing their lives, there was a great need for orphanages and many hospitals began to operate orphanages. And they found that they could keep the children pretty well content and their mind occupied throughout the course of the day. But at night, a restlessness, a fearfulness would overcome. And as one child started to whimper and cry, it led to another and another and another. One night, a exasperated doctor said, "Let's try something. Let's give every child a piece of bread to hold." And they did it. And to their amazement, everybody was stilled and they began to sleep through the night. Holding that bread gave them a sense of security. We've gathered together this morning. I want to say to you one more time this morning, the bread is ready. The true bread, Christ, the bread of life, the wonder bread is available to you this morning. And if you will but partake of him, he can steal your heart this morning. He can give you the security you need for life and for all of eternity this morning. The bread is ready this day. We're going to turn this morning to the 16th chapter of the book of Exodus. We spent the last couple Sundays in John 6 looking at this thought of the bread. I want to look at this 16th chapter of Exodus this morning. I call it the M&M chapter because it's filled with manna and murmuring. Now I'm only going to deal with the portion of the chapter that deals with the manna, that deals with the bread sent from heaven. But I'm going to read the chapter in its entirety. And you may say, well, if you're only going to deal with that part that's talking about the bread, why are you going to read the entire chapter? Well, the Lord himself said this, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Hear the word of the Lord this morning in Exodus 16. "And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin." And when you hear that, don't think of our English word sin, error, or trespass. It has to do with the area near Mount Sinai, which is the reason for the next phrase, which is between Elim and Sinai. "On the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day shall they prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, At even, then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us? And Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full. For the Lord heareth your murmurings which ye murmur. Have you picked up on that already in the text, that God hears murmuring? He makes note of it. And again, he says, what are ye murmuring? What are ye murmuring? What are we? Well, your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And Moses spake unto Aaron and said unto all the congregation, the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness. And behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating. An omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so and gathered some more, some less. And when they did met it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses. But some of them left of it unto the morning, and it bred worms and stank. Moses was wroth with them. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted. And it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, this is that which the Lord has said. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye shall bake today, and see that ye will seethe, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up till the morning, as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today ye shall not find in the field. 6 days ye shall gather, but on the seventh, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass that they went out, some of the people, on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath, therefore he giveth you on the sixth day bread for 2 days, the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place, let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. And the house of Israel called the name thereof manna. And it was likened to coriander seed, white. And the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. And Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commandeth. Fill an homer of it to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread wherewith I have fed you in the wilderness when I brought you forth from the land of Egypt. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a pot and put a homer full of manna therein and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came to the borders of the land of Canaan. Now, an homer is a tenth part of an ephod. And the Lord will bless the reading of his holy word this morning. This entire chapter is about manna, but it is specifically about gathered manna. Not just given manna, but gathered manna. That's what I want to meditate this morning. This thought of gathered manna 10 times in the text this morning. 10 times out of these 36 verses, it speaks of them gathering. They're having to gather the manna. Now, there's a problem that has brought them to this place in time. In their minds, and really more so in their hearts. The problem in the text is not their stomachs. No, the problem in the text is their thinking and is their heart. They believe that God and Moses particularly has brought them out in the wilderness to die. I mean, they're not even 2 full months out of Egypt. And they're complaining and they're murmuring. We read it time and time again in the text, how they murmured. They've been doing it virtually since they left the town limits of Egypt. First it was about the way. Then it was about the water, and now it's about this want of bread, which is amazing. They've just seen God take Egypt, the bread basket of the world, and make it empty. They've just seen God bring Pharaoh down, oh my. But they seemingly believe that God can't make a bread basket or give them bread in the midst of the wilderness, oh my. One man said they had selective memory. Tim Keller, I don't always agree with him, but he said these Israelites, he said they had the memory of an addict, a drug addict. The memory of an addict. Said, what do you mean, preacher? An addict only remembers the high. An addict only remembers the good. The addict doesn't remember the crash. The addict doesn't remember the withdrawals. And the Israelites here, they don't remember all those hard, a long day. Spurgeon said they forgot all about the bricks and they've got their mind now on bread. Oh man, they foolishly assume that God can't give bread. In fact, I say to you this morning, they were confused about what they had, and they're confused about what they have, and ignorant about what they have. They're confused about what they had. They had the hand of Pharaoh. They had the hand of bondage. They had bread. Oh yes, they had bread back up here, as they say, not in the way they said. They had bread, but it was the bread of affliction and the bread of slavery. Oh, they're confused about what they had. They're ignorant about what they now have. They now have the hand of God. In verse 13, it says God with his strong hand brought them out of the land of Egypt. And God's not about to pour out the bread of affliction. He's about to pour out the bread of affection. He's about to pour out bread in abundance. Why? The bread is ready and bread is available to those that are hungry. But oh my, this crowd doesn't believe God. Of course, I remind you here, the real danger this morning here is not the lack of food. The real danger for them is they're murmuring in the face of God. You go to murmuring against the man of God, I got news for you. You're not murmuring against the man of God. In fact, there's not one person under the sound of my breath, they're not any set of eyeballs I'm looking into that you've ever murmured against me.
Amen, preacher.
you've murmured against the Lord. Is that not what Moses says? Is that not what God says? So there's a problem here. Oh my, they're concerned with the thought, we don't have any bread. We're not going to have any bread. Oh my, it drives them to murmur. It drives them to complain. Notice in the text, they're grumbling, but God is giving. They're grumbling, they're complaining, oh my, but God is giving. And not what they deserve. They deserve for God to rain down hail of judgment like he did back in Egypt just weeks ago, a month and a half ago. No, they deserve God to pour down and rain down fire and brimstone like he did on Sodom and Gomorrah. But no, God's going to rain down meat and God's going to rain down bread. What a gracious God you and I serve this morning. I mean, you would think God would withhold bread after they've lied. After they've lied about, they never sat around all day long at a buffet eating all the meat and eating all the bread they wanted. No, no, no. They were fortunate if they ever got a piece of bread from the hand of Pharaoh. But oh my, I'm glad this morning, as the word of God says, that where sin abounds, grace does much more abound this morning. So in the midst of this problem, God shows his graciousness. God shows his blessings. But I want you to notice something about this. There's a precept here. God says you must gather bread. It's in verse 4. What shall I do unto this people? God is crying out. Let me turn over here. I got my page wrong. He says, then said the Lord unto Moses, I'll rain bread. I'll rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day that I may prove them. God says, I'm going to give bread. But you must gather it. I will give, but you must gather. Here's the precept this morning. Oh my, if they refuse to gather, they'd have no bread. That's how simple it is this morning. If they refuse to gather, they would have no bread. Can I pause right here and say to you this morning, the bread is ready, the bread is ready, the bread is available. But if you refuse to gather this morning, oh my, you'll not be able to blame God when you starve to death. Oh, no, 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 no. If they refused to gather, they would be no bread, because in verse 21, we read it a moment ago, when the hot sun got up, it all melted away and it was gone. They were to gather, and they're to gather every day, daily. Did our Lord not say that when you pray, pray this way, give us this day our daily bread? Now, in verse 5, we read that on the sixth day, that operate different. On the sixth day, the precept is different. On the sixth day, you gather twice as much so that you do not gather on the seventh day. There it is in verse 5 there. On the sixth day, you'll prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. Don't miss it. God says you must gather. You must gather, and you must gather daily. Oh my. And some, as we read a moment ago, some tried to say, well, I'll tell you what, I think I'll sleep in tomorrow. I think I'll just gather a little extra today, and then I'll sleep in the morning, and I'll not have to go out and gather. And what does the word of God tell us? That it bred worms and it stank. It bred worms and it had a foul, foul, foul odor. And then, by the way, did you pick up? Some of them went out on the seventh day when God said you're not to go out. And God said on the seventh day there'll be none. And some of them went out looking for bread, manna, on that day. And they did not find it. Why? Because God has given a precept. Day by day, daily thou art together. On the sixth day, you're together twice as much. Here's the precept this morning. Here's the command of God. You must
gather bread. If you want to eat, you must gather. And they found the precepts of God to be true in a positive way and in a negative way. In a positive way, they found it every morning. They found it every morning. Every morning they looked for manna, they found manna. On the sixth day they found it to be twice as much manna, and that which they gather, they were able to eat even on the sixth and the seventh day, and it didn't bring worms and it didn't stink the tin out. No. But some of them, as I've already looked, some of them tried to operate a different way. When you try to operate different from the Word of God, when you try to operate your life in disregard of the precepts of the Word of God, your life is going to stink. Amen. Your attitude is going to stink. I'm talking about the precepts here. Now, as with all the commandments of God, they're to be obeyed. That's why God gives them. That's why God gives them. And he gives them to prove us, to prove them, to prove whether or not they'll trust and obey. But here's the thing about God's precepts. Here's the thing about God's commands this morning. They always come with his promises. God promises if you won't gather. God promises if you will obey. He says in verse 12, you'll know that I am the Lord your God. I'll tell you this morning, when God gives us commands, if we will but obey, we'll see, it'll be proven. He's a God of grace. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of abundance. It'll be proven that the bread is ready. It'll be proven that the bread is available if you and I but gather. So there are precepts here. But look here in the text, there are promises here. There's a promise for today. God said, you're going to have meat today. You're going to have meat this evening. That's not my focus this morning. But God has a promise for today. He said, there'll be meat in the evening. But God's promises are for tomorrow as well, and forever tomorrow after that. He says, in the morning, there'll be manna. In the morning, there'll be bread on the ground. And in verses 13 through 21, here's a promise. Here's a promise for today. God promised to take care of them every day. God promised to take care of them daily. God promised to meet their every need. God promised that daily there would be bread there. And on the sixth day there'd be twice as much, so that they would even be bread on the seventh day. And what did they find to be true? That when tomorrow, when the seventh day dawned, they had bread that day because of what God did on the sixth day. God promised to provide for today, for today, and for every today that they faced. There was bread to the God in the land of Canaan. There was never a day God didn't have bread. Save on that seventh day when God had provided twice as much on the sixth day. God promised them bread for today. But God promised them in verses 22 through 30. He promised them bread for tomorrow. And every tomorrow after that. He said on the sixth day, today, on the sixth day, I'm going to cover tomorrow. You gather twice as much today and you'll have it tomorrow. Your needs will be met and your needs will be provided tomorrow. Has it ever dawned on you? God was providing on that sixth day what they would need on the seventh day. I got news for you. That's how God operates. When you and I get there, the needs already been supplied. The bread is ready this morning. If you and I will but gather. If you and I will but gather. So there's these promises here for today, for tomorrow. I'll tell you this morning, you don't have to fear tomorrow, nor do you have to fear today. But there's a multitude of folks I know that are living in fear of tomorrow. Can I remind you what the Lord said? Can I remind you the words of the Lord? He said, take no thought What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewith shall we be clothed? He says, your Father, your heavenly Father, knoweth that ye have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and gather all, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. I'm going to tell you this morning, the promises of God are bread for today and bread for tomorrow. And when tomorrow becomes today, they will be bread for all that have gathered. For all that have gathered. You don't gather bread today, you're going to go hungry, not just today. You're going to go hungry tomorrow on the Sabbath day, the seventh day. Oh my, in that time frame, in that economy this morning. Day after day after day, tomorrow after tomorrow after tomorrow, God sent bread. They just had to gather. They just had to gather the bread. Hey, the bread's ready this morning. The bread is ready this morning. Have you gathered? Have you gathered? Have you gathered? Can I say something right quick about the provisions in this text? God provides in an abundant way. God provides in an abundant way. God says, I'm going to rain. I'm going to downpour. I'm going to pour out. God doesn't say, I'm going to sprinkle a little bread here, and I'm going to sprinkle a little bread over yonder. No, no, no. They got up everywhere they looked, in every direction, all around the camp, all around, every direction, everywhere they looked, they saw bread. They saw manna. It was all over the ground. I mean, it was probably hard for them to walk and not step on a piece of bread. That's the abundant provisions of our Lord and our God. Now God says in verse 16, he says, I want everybody to have an omer. That's about 2 quarts. I want everybody to have an omer, a manna by day. Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. 2 quarts. I'm not real good at math, but you multiply that by 2 million people. Oh my, that's a lot of bread. That's getting up there. That's millions of gallons of manna. That's a whole lot of bread. And notice what we read. Did you remember what we read there in verse 35? For 40 years, day by day, God sent bread from heaven. Millions and millions of quarts, millions and millions of gallons, millions and millions of pounds of bread. That's the abundant provisions of our Lord. But he just doesn't provide in an abundant way. He provides in a filling way. In a filling way. Every man could eat as much manna as they wanted to eat. If a fellow liked to eat a lot, he could eat a lot. If a person didn't want to eat a lot, they didn't have to eat a lot. It was according, here it is in verse 18. They didn't met it out with an omer. He that gathered much had nothing over. He that gathered little had no lack. Isn't that last phrase? And they gathered every man according to his eating. I mean, Here's another miracle. Surely God takes some omers and stretches it for some folks that won't eat a lot, and then God took the omer and reduced it for some so that there's one man said there was no want and there was no waste. Here's the point. Everybody got to eat as much as they wanted to eat. Oh my. Everybody was able to be filled, satisfied. Oh my, that's the provisions of the Lord our God. But don't miss it. They only got to eat what they gathered. No gathering, no bread, no eating. No gathering, no bread, no eating. The supply was abundant everywhere they looked, but they had to gather. And what a thought. I mean, they're not having to sow grain, grow grain, grind grain. No. There it is. It's theirs for the taking. It's theirs for the eating. For that is another part of what's going on in this chapter I'm well aware of. They not only had to gather, they had to eat. Now, notice the text says every man is to gather for those in his tent. I mean, the women aren't out gathering, and little boys and girls aren't out having to gather. Oh my, but every man would gather an omer of manna by day, twice on the sixth day, for everybody in his household, for everybody in his tent. No, everybody did not personally gather, but everybody had to personally eat. Everybody had to personally eat. Look, there it is in the last phrase of verse 15. This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. No, everybody didn't gather. But everybody that was fed had to eat. They had to partake. We read that they called it manna. The word means what? What is it? That's what they said. That first morning they went out and they said, "What is this? What is it?" That's what the word manna means. And day after day after day, they saw it. I'd say it smelled pretty good. I mean, you can smell hot bread when hot bread's in the oven. And we know that it tasted sweet. Oh my, I'd say it smelled mighty, mighty, mighty good. But seeing it and smelling it was not enough. They had to eat it. Here's a multitude of people. Day after day, twice as much on the sixth. There's manna everywhere. There's manna everywhere. They can see it. They can smell it. But you see, the manna needed to be in them. The manna needed to be in them to benefit them. I'll tell you this morning, the bread's ready. The bread's ready. Manna is everywhere around this place this morning. You can see it. Maybe you can smell it this morning. But that doesn't do you any good unless you eat of it. Unless you eat of it this morning. Oh, my, my, my. They needed the manna in them, in them, in them. And you can know the gospel. You know the gospel. You know Christ. You can sing, you can come, oh my, and be all around the manna. But unless you partake, everybody hadn't gathered this morning. I've gathered this morning. I'm trying to carry you some bread this morning. But oh my, that I have gathered bread will not benefit you unless you eat of the bread. There's a partaking in this text. I close with this. There are pictures in this text. This manna gives us two pictures. It pictures the written word of God. And it pictures the living word of God, Christ himself. What do we read about this manna? What it says back up here in verse 14, it was a small thing. You know, I'm holding my hand really a small book compared to other books. Most dictionaries are a lot larger than this book. A lot of books of literature in the world are far larger, far more volumes than 66 books, almost 1,200 verses. Oh my, a small thing in some respects, but this is the eternal word of God that can do what no other book can do. Oh my, I remind you, our Lord and Savior became a small thing, despised and rejected, born as a baby and despised. And I'm here to tell you, the manna pictures Christ, small. Amen. Says it was round, a circle. A circle doesn't have a beginning, and a circle doesn't have an ending. This is the forever settled word of God. This is the eternal word of God. It is without beginning. It is without ending. And oh my, even more so, our Lord and Savior himself. Verse 31 says it's white. This book is white. It is without error. No mixture of error. Our Lord, without spot and without blemish, is pure and holy and white. Says that manna was sweet. What does David say? David says this over in Psalm 119. How sweet are thy words, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. He says in another psalm, he says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh my. But you know the best thing about the manna? It was free. It was free. All they had to do was to go out and gather and partake. Undeserved, but free. 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 For the gathering, free for the eating. And there it was day by day. That's why back in John 6, where we've been looking at for a couple Sundays, that's why remember the Lord says this. He says, you want your fathers. It wasn't Moses that provided that bread. He says there, he gave them bread from heaven. Jesus says in the response to that, he says, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which cometh down from heaven. Then they said unto him, Lord, evermore give us that bread. Lord, we want some of that bread. He said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. He that eateth on me shall never hunger. He that drinketh of me shall never thirst. Oh my, this morning, gathered bread. It'll do you no good to know about it. Do you no good to think about it. Do you know good to wish you had some when it's available, when the bread is ready? You say, but preacher, you don't know me. I do know the Lord and his invitation. Here it is in Isaiah 85. I think I read it two Sundays ago. Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye and buy. Yea, come and buy wine and money, milk, without money and without price. Sounds like it's free. The bread of life, as the manna in the wilderness, was free for their gathering and for their consuming. Brother Brian, I want us to sing in a moment, Great is Thy Faithfulness. The bread's ready this morning. For 40 years, day after day, God had bread ready with a double portion on the sixth day. They just had to gather. D.A. Carson makes note, you remember up on the mountainside when the devil was tempting our Lord? He said, Won't you take those stones and make you some bread? He refused to do so. Christ refused to make bread for himself. But Christ became bread for you and for me so we would not have to starve and die lost and be spiritually anemic. The bread is ready this morning, but you must gather and then go beyond that. You must eat. He's faithful to provide it. We're standing up. I want to say it's 139, 136, 139. Great is thy faithful. He didn't fail 40 years for them. He'll not fail for you today. Gather some bread. Gather some bread. The bread's ready this morning. Gather, eat, partake of the bread. As we sing,
great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness.
Sing that second verse.
Summer and winter and springtime.
That sounds daily. That sounds like today. That sounds like tomorrow. Ever today, ever tomorrow. Sounds like he's faithful. Sounds like he's got bread.
Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see, all I have been in thy hand and full by
thee. Oh, yes. We're going to sing a last verse in a second. I don't ever want you to do anything God's not squeezing your heart to do. But I read about a preacher. It was late one Christmas Eve. Him and his brother ran to the grocery store to get some last minute items. I said, knew everything be closed over Christmas and all that. And they were in the checkout line. Store was soon going to close. And the manager walked up and said, all the bread we have is free for the taking. It's going to be closed tomorrow, Christmas. All the bread we've got, free for the taking. That preacher said several people went back over the bread aisle, and one or two people got a loaf, maybe two loaves, you know. He said, Me and my brother, we just went and got shopping carts. He said, we're just raking every shelf off, getting as much as we could get. Said, we went home, we called everybody we could call. Said, we got bread. Will you like some bread? Come get some bread. Come get some bread. You know, that's how it often is at church. A lot of people are afraid to acknowledge how hungry they are. You might slip down and get you one little loaf. Why in the world would you want to get just one loaf? Why in the world would you want to just get one slice? You can have as much of the bread as you want this morning. You can have as much of Christ as you want this morning. Amen. Why, if he would pardon us, if he would save us, he will provide for us. Sing that last verse. Sing it good, sing it strong unto the Lord.
Pardon for sin.
Bread's ready. Bread's ready. Bread's ready.
Presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside.
Sing it now in the chorus.
Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness.
Father, you fail them not in the wilderness. And in the wilderness of this world, you will not fail us. The bread is ready for today, for tomorrow. It is there. May we gather. May we eat. May we partake. Lord, somebody under the sound of my voice may not need a piece of bread today. But Lord, what they gather today will get them through tomorrow. So may we be faithful together. Put your truth deep in our heart and our soul. In your holy, righteous name we pray.